Good morning, everyone. I'm glad Sam mentioned the Gather 25. I don't know how many of you caught some of that. Rhonda and I watched some of it yesterday. Sam and I actually didn't even talk about it, but it was a pretty neat thing where they were all over the world doing these gatherings to encourage us to draw closer to Christ and as opposed to each other as well. And the whole idea of we have good news to get out there into the world and many people need to hear it. Next Sunday is going to be the first Sunday of Lent, and our theme as we go lead up to Easter is going to be 40 days of prayer and renewal. There are actually 40 days from this Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday, to Easter, but that doesn't include the Sundays. I don't know if you realize that. It's 40 days, but you can't include the Sundays because then it's like 46. And so what we're going to be looking at, we're obviously going to be encouraging all of us to think about a way to increase our prayer life, maybe make some changes that allow us to have a more active and helpful prayer life, as well as renewing our faith in many ways. And this devotional is in your boxes today, 40 days, once a day. And so if you don't have a box, there's extras down in the foyer. Or if you don't want to share it with your spouse or family, you can grab an extra one and have your own copy. There aren't a bunch of extras, but there are some extras. And so if we read this together as we go through the Lent season, we will know that each of us are reading the same devotional, and hopefully it can draw us closer to Jesus during this time. And the messages during this Lent season are going to be focused around, you know, in the Bible there are so many mentions of 40 days or 40 nights. And so we are going to be looking at a lot of those passages, beginning with the temptation of Jesus next Sunday as we consider the 40 days that he was tempted by Satan. So start with day one this Wednesday, and we'll talk more about that next Sunday. Today's the last Sunday of our message series on Joseph. And it's been a great journey from Genesis 37 through 50. And just thinking about, you know, Joseph and the many life examples there are for us in that story. We've been thinking about how they relate to our lives. And it was fun there to go through some of those questions with the children and all of you, as you know, we just kind of recalled some of the basics. But I want to, along with those questions, I want to summarize some of the core principles that we have looked at so far in Joseph's life. The first Sunday, we saw how Joseph overcame some very terrible and hurtful things in his life, and he began to see how God could redeem him from those things. You know, in the midst of all of the pride and the betrayal and all of that stuff that we talked about going on in his family, he eventually began to understand how God could move him beyond those things, beyond that hurt, to what God had planned for him in the future. So the first core principle is that God can redeem us and our circumstances if we let him. And in Christ, we can look ahead and not behind. The second week, then, we saw how important it was for Joseph to have a willing heart towards God and be open to the ways that God was going to use him in spite of, you know, those many bad things that he had experienced there in Egypt. And in time, of course, as we heard, Joseph was placed in charge of the entire country to manage that drought and that famine that was still coming. And so the second principle is that when we are willing to submit to God and take steps toward God, we can find his purpose and we can find what his will for our life is. And then last week we saw how God used Joseph to extend that forgiveness to his brothers, you know, for what they had done to him. And then, of course, that paves the way for the entire family his entire family in Israel to be saved from the famine. And I think last week I mentioned in that story that it would not have ended that way for Joseph and his family without that important act of forgiveness toward his brothers. So the third core principle would be that forgiveness is often a very important step towards that redemption and restoration and, of course, peace in our lives as well. So that brings us to the end of the story of Joseph today, chapters 46 through 50. Joseph is going to settle his family there in the Goshen region of Egypt, not Indiana, per Pharaoh's suggestion. Pharaoh actually suggests that. And then we are going to see the favor of God and the blessing of others and the love that Joseph does have for his family. And it becomes an important part of this story as his father Jacob eventually passes away. I'm going to once again read the John Walsh version so that we don't have to read all of those chapters. He does a good job of summarizing this. So this is the chapters of 46 through 50 in summary form. So after Joseph revealed himself to his brothers and forgave them for selling him off to Egypt, Pharaoh told Joseph, "Tell your brothers to go back to Canaan and to get your father. They should bring him back here as well as their families. Have them take wagons from Egypt so that their wives and their children can travel in comfort. Don't worry about their belongings because I will give them the best of Egypt." So when the men got back to Canaan, Jacob was stunned when they told him everything that happened. At first, he didn't believe that Joseph was actually alive. But eventually he became thrilled as he listened to the stories about Joseph and all that he had done. So Jacob's entire clan starts the journey to Egypt. And along the way, Jacob stops and he sacrificed to the Lord. And that night that he did the sacrifice, God appeared to him in a vision. And he said, "I am God, the God of your father." He said, "Don't be afraid to go to Egypt, because I will go with you and I will make you a great nation. And in time, I will bring them back to this land." So finally, Jacob and his children and all their children arrive in Egypt. Pharaoh provided everything they needed because of Joseph. They were given the best land. They were given wonderful herds for their families. And Jacob lived for another 17 years. And then when he was about to die, he called Joseph to his side. And he said, "Your two sons are now mine. Manasseh and Ephraim are my sons as much as Reuben and Simeon are mine." He said, "They will have a part of my inheritance and they will be counted as the sons of Israel." And so Joseph brought his sons next to his father to receive the blessing. He put Manasseh next to Jacob's right hand because he was the oldest. But Jacob reached out and he put his right hand on Ephraim. Joseph tried to correct that by moving the father's hand, saying, "Father, Manasseh is the oldest and should receive the blessing of your right hand." That was the tradition. But Jacob said, "Son, I know what I'm doing. Yes, Manasseh will be father of a great tribe, but the descendants of Ephraim will have a larger population." Jacob then called in all of his sons and gave each one a blessing. He said Judah would be the kingly tribe and the promise, of course, the promise of Jesus, our Messiah, would go down through his descendants. So Jacob visited with his sons a bit longer, and then he died. A large crowd took his body back to Canaan, including his family and many of the Egyptians. He was buried in the same cave as Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and his wife Leah. After the death of Jacob, the brothers of Joseph became fearful. And they were saying to each other, they said, "Okay, you know, Joseph has been kind to us, and maybe it's because of our father that he was kind to us. Now that he is gone, is he going to get even with us. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father asked you to forgive us for the great sin we committed against you. Therefore, please forgive us. As if he hadn't already done that. And so Joseph broke down and he cried when he heard the message. Then his brothers came before him and they bowed down to him and they said, we are your slaves. We will be your slaves. And Joseph said, don't be afraid of me. He said, I can't act in the place of God. It's true you wanted to hurt me, but God was in control the entire time. He planned it to save the lives of our entire clan. He said, listen to me, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children. Joseph spoke words of comfort to his brothers, and he reassured them of his love and his care for them. You know, for some reason, human beings like to find things and search for things. We have word search puzzles. We have, well, puzzles in general, where you find where the piece goes. We have games that we play like Clue and Battleship. Escape rooms have become popular where you search for the clues in order to escape a locked room that you're in. And even children love to play hide and seek or I spy. Can you think of some others? What are some other things we do that we search for things? I know I'm throwing it at you real quick there. It's hard to think on the cuff. Another one that I thought of was the Where's Waldo books that children have, and scavenger hunts would be another one that we would think of. Easter egg hunts, there you go. You know, as we get older, we search for our wallet and our keys and our cell phone, but we don't usually enjoy those quite as much as the other ones, right? Well, among all of the different things that we like to search for and hopefully eventually find, I would hope that God's favor and God's blessing would be at the top of our list. You know, in Genesis 47:25, after Joseph brings all of the people to Egypt, there's a verse there that says this. It says, the people say, may we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. Now that sounds great, but what Lord are they referring to? Because the very next line says, we will be in bondage to Pharaoh. So do they want to find favor in the eyes of Pharaoh or in the eyes of God? I'm going to mention that a little bit later on here. But, you know, favor is one of those words that is used often in the Bible, in Scripture. Over 150 times it refers to God's favor on people who followed him, who obeyed him, and continued to seek after him in their lives. And there are even more references of blessing in the Scripture than there are favor. In the story today, we see how Jacob blessed his descendants. And we know how often in the Bible we see where it speaks of God's blessing or blessings on us. But favor is also spoken about in many other important parts of the Bible. Here are just some examples, and you will notice that some of the most well-known people in the Bible are in these verses. The Lord looked on favor with favor on Abel, on Noah, on Moses, or it says Moses sought the favor of the Lord. And Gideon said, you know, if now I can find favor in your eyes, give me a sign. And then the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and the people, it says in 1 Samuel. And then in Psalm 85, verse 1, it says, you, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. And you see, that last one actually is referring to Joseph and his family. If you look through this entire story of Joseph that we've been talking about, you can see the importance of that word. In fact, here are some of the references of favor and blessing in Joseph's life. And I'm not going to read through each one of them. You can see them on the screen. We've covered some of them in the past weeks. Some of them refer to God's favor specifically, and then there's others that refer to God causing other people to look upon Joseph with favor. You know, both of those were really important in Joseph's story because God used certain people, some who were not even believers or God followers, like Pharaoh. He used them to promote Joseph and bring about God's will and purpose in these chapters. And you know, that can happen in our lives as well. When we are truly seeking after the Lord and we are following his ways, we are listening to his voice, we are submitting to his will like Joseph was, God sometimes might use the most unlikely person or people or maybe even situation to prepare you for what God has for you in the future. And, you know, really, if the Lord can use someone like Pharaoh to accomplish his will, like he did with Joseph and his family, I believe the Lord can use anyone in our life. And so we have to be careful in those situations, though, not to discount the presence of God when that does happen. I think it could have been easy for Joseph to say, wow, you know, look what Pharaoh did for my family. Instead of saying, wow, look what God has done for my family. I'm sure many of you can think of a situation in your life where that was the case as well. And you know, do we thank the person in those cases? Or do we take time to thank God for working all those things together for our good? You know, if we go back to verse 25, we see the importance of giving God the credit for these things when they happen. The people, they realize that their lives have been saved by the acts of Joseph and Pharaoh, but it seems like, it feels like maybe they're unsure of who to give the credit to. Perhaps it, you know, didn't occur to them at the time that God was the one working through Joseph and even through Pharaoh to make all of this happen. Now, you know, God doesn't play favorites, but God does look upon us with favor and blessings when our life is centered on his will and his purpose and his plan for our life. In Joseph's life and story, his commitment and his obedience to God were the steps that led to God's favor and blessing being poured out on him and his family. And the same is true in our lives even today. You know, if we're going about life and we're living like we want to, we're just kind of doing our own thing, we're not giving much thought or time to Jesus, we can't expect favor and blessings to always follow. And, you know, this isn't prosperity gospel stuff where you give, 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 and you're going to get. This is about the Lord blessing you through a life that is dedicated to him and to his leading. And we heard that earlier in the Deuteronomy passage that Michelle read. You know, those verses are a great example of this. It said, if you fully obey the Lord your God, and if you follow his commands, all of these blessings are going to come on you. And then it goes on and it lists them all. So we see there and we see here in Joseph's life story that these things do matter. In our lives today, Jesus will bless us Jesus wants to bless us, but we find those blessings and that favor in our trust, in our faith, and in our commitment and obedience to Him. You know, if we take Joseph's steps of forgiveness last week that we talked about, instead of choosing the path of revenge on his brothers, I think it's a great example of that, you know, because God would not have looked upon that with favor and blessing if he had sought revenge instead of forgiveness. And if you go back even further in his story, if Joseph had given in to the temptations he was faced with, or the opportunity to disown God or to curse God for all that he had gone through, that wouldn't have been looked upon with favor. You see, we have a choice. We have a free will to follow God's ways or to follow our own ways. And if we want to find favor and blessing in the eyes of God, we need to be sure to choose wisely. Jesus is always going to forgive us and help us in this. But it's important to turn toward God's will and not away from it. It may not always mean, of course, that everything's just going to work out perfect or that we'll never face difficult things in our lives. But it will mean that over time, we will see God's plan and God's purpose and God's will fulfilled in our life. And, you know, sometimes it does take a lot of time and it takes a lot of patience. I talked to someone this week and the person said, I've been praying for that for a long time. Praying for them for a long time. And one thing we need to realize about Joseph's story here is that this played out over the course of probably 20 or 30 years or more. So, you know, this isn't a short-term plan. This is a long-term plan to find God's favor and blessing in your life. And it does take patience. I saw something funny this week, and it went like this. It said, my patience is basically like a gift card. Not sure how much is left on it, but we can give it a try. We've all had those gift cards where we don't know how much is on it, but we'll go ahead and try it. I thought that was pretty good. But, you know, oftentimes along the way, we see those blessings as well, even while we're waiting to come out at the other end. And Joseph saw them, of course, many times in this story through the process, but it was that end result of saving his family from the famine that's where it was all leading to. I think maybe a better way to think about that is to say this is a lifelong plan that we're talking about here. A lifelong commitment to Jesus. When the Bible says that God showed favor to Noah and to Joseph and to David and others, it was because their lives were changed to be God-focused instead of world-focused or self-focused. God's ways, God's righteousness, and their faith in Him became the main focus of their life. And so can that be said of us? Can that be said of you? During these four messages, we've talked about, you know, the positive steps that Joseph took. Last Sunday, I said that forgiveness is one of the most important steps, but the truth is, no steps will lead us forward in faith and obedience unless Jesus Christ is at the center. And, you know, Jesus is the only one that can help you to continue to take those positive steps forward in your life. And if Jesus is left out of our lives, things can get very messy. Even if things are already messy, you know, having Jesus in our life is how we get through it. And this story is a great example of that. I think it's why it's one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. Because It's like, you know, yes, things were messy. There was a lot that was messy in this story over time. But God took the obedience of Joseph, and he redeemed his life, and he brought him and his family through to the other side. And the same thing can happen for you and your family. If you don't know how to fix it, maybe let Jesus fix it. You know, let it begin with you having faith that Jesus can fix it, even if you feel like you can't fix it. Billy Graham used to tell a story about a man who was stranded on the road one time out in the middle of nowhere with his old Ford pickup truck. So he opens the hood, he jiggles some wires and such, but he couldn't figure out what the problem was. And of course, that was back in the day before you could contact anybody with your cell phone or something like that. So after a little while, on the horizon, he sees a car coming, and it's this man in a brand new Lincoln. And he stopped to offer him some help. After getting a screwdriver and messing with things a little while, he gets back in the truck and started right up. And so this stranded man said, "Wow, thanks so much for stopping." He goes, "What's your name?" And he said, "I'm Henry Ford. I should know a little bit about this truck that I helped to create." Now, think about that story and think about what Genesis 1:27 says in the Bible. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And, you know, in all of our times of difficulty and all of our times of struggle and temptation and confusion, God, Jesus, is the one who can help us to sort it all out. He created us, and then he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, as a way to redeem us and deliver us from our sins. And so, you know, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you live for him and not for yourself, you can take hold of the same promise and the same faithfulness that we see in the life of Joseph, that we see in the life of Noah and Peter and Paul and so many others in the Bible. And we can see that even in people's life today. My hope and my prayer is that none of us will remain stranded in our brokenness when God has provided a way for us to be made whole. So may we seek the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. In closing, going back to that Psalm 119, Psalm 119, 57 to 58, it says, "You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all of my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise." You know, the story of Joseph and his family is a testimony to that promise and that covenant that God has made to you. And following God with all his heart, Joseph and his family found God's favor and blessing. And it will be true for you and your family as well, if you seek him. As Jesus said, "Seek and you will find. Seek the Lord's favor and blessing and you will find it." Amen. Let's stand together and we'll turn to him in prayer, and then we'll sing that song as we are dismissed this morning, just as a reminder for all of us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the stories of the Bible. We thank you for Joseph and his family. We thank you for Jesus who came through this family. We thank you for saving them. We thank you for saving us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who feels like the Lord's favor and blessing is missing on their life, I pray that we would come to you with repentant hearts, repent of our sin and all the things in our life that are not about God or of God, and that we would set our sights on Jesus, that we would ask Jesus to help us with the messiness of this world and sometimes the messiness that we face in life. Help us to know that Jesus wants to fix it for us. Jesus wants to help us. Most of all, Jesus will forgive us for anything in our past. So Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who has not received you into their life, received your grace and forgiveness, and experienced the favor and blessing that you can pour out on them, I pray today, Lord, today's the day when they will receive you into their life and begin to live for you. Help us to seek you each and every day of our lives. May that be our testimony. May that be our story. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.